Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Sometimes in our conversations, we hear it said about another, well, he's just bound to do that, or she's just bound to do so-and-so. Well, what do we mean by such an expression as that? Is there some way in which a person is bound to do a certain thing? Or is that just our prediction about what we feel he or she is going to do? Whether we're right or wrong in some of those predictions, what gives us the idea that a person is bound? Do we think that he has been overpowered some way? There's been some overpowering compulsion or force that he just cannot help himself in that? Well, there is a sense in which a person can be bound to do certain things. One, he might be bound by habit to do certain things. He might be bound by the law of average. He might be bound by custom or by routine or by circumstance or by duty be bound to do something. But while he might be bound by any one of these, he can never be bound against his own will. For it was Solomon who said in Proverbs 1 verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Now, the son could be enticed, but he wasn't bound to give in to the enticement. Now, man allows himself to be bound. One might feel compelled to act in such a way because of peer pressure. Or he might say he did it against his will, but before doing it, he would have to have given his consent. Jesus said to some in Matthew 26:41, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And while that is often the case, still man allows himself to submit. A man often allows his spirit to submit to his body rather than making his body submit to his spirit. In Mark 3, verse 27, Jesus made this statement, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Now, notice this carefully. Before one can enter into another's house and spoil the goods of his house, he must first bind that man, otherwise he couldn't spoil the man's goods. It calls for a struggle in which one seeks to overpower the other. And the way one overpowers the other is by first binding him. Well, in a similar way, Satan cannot enter a strong man's heart and spoil his good influence except he first bind that man, and then he will spoil the good of his life. This calls for a struggle in which Satan seeks to overpower you and overpower me. And the only way he can do that is by first binding us. Well, the Bible speaks of a sense in which Satan himself is bound. But the Bible also speaks of a sense in which Satan binds us. You don't have to be bound by Satan. You're not a puppet in Satan's hands unless you agree. You can keep Satan from binding you. Satan is trying hard to bind you that he may overpower you, but you will decide whether or not he does. For as James said, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Well, let's notice some passages in which that word bind is used so that we may see in what sense Satan is trying to overpower us. In Matthew 13, verse 30, the first we look at, the word simply means to tie or to fasten. That's the way it's used in Matthew 13:30 with reference to the binding of tares in a bundle. As a farmer would gather up his tares, he would tie and bind and fasten and wrap them that he might be able to handle the bundle with a greater advantage and throw it in the fire and burn it. Well, Satan seeks to bind, that is, to tie and fasten or wrap us that he might handle us with greater advantage. In Matthew 21, verse 2, the word bind is used with reference to the tying of an animal. As a man would tie or fasten or bind an animal that he might lead him about, Satan seeks to bind or tie us that he may lead us about. In fact, Satan would like to make of us nothing but brute beasts, as suggested in Jude 10. And then the word in the third instance is used in John 11, verse 44. This time with reference to the wrapping or the binding of a dead body. As a dead body is bound or wrapped up for burial in the burial clothes, Satan is trying to bind us as though we were dead to Christ. And then that word bind is also used with reference to captives. The Bible says that John the Baptist was bound by Herod in Matthew 14, verse 3. The Bible says that Christ was bound by the chief priests and elders in Matthew 27, 2. And before his conversion to Christ, Saul was trying to bind men and women and commit them to prison, we learn in Acts 9, verse 2. But after his conversion to Christ, he himself was bound on more than one occasion. And in the same sense, captives are bound and controlled. Satan would like to make of us captives that he might control us. The Apostle Paul was well aware of this. He said in Romans 7, verse 23, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The only way we can be made captives of Satan is by permitting our spirits and our wills and our minds to be bound by him. And Satan is trying to bind us. Remember, our Lord said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Well, Satan cannot enter into a strong man's heart and spoil the good of that man's heart, except first he bind that man's heart. Satan wants to enter your heart and spoil the good of it, but you will determine whether or not he does that by your either resisting the devil or your flirting with the devil. Paul suggested in Romans 7, verse 23, that Satan will either bring us into captivity to the law of sin, which is in our members, according to 2 Corinthians 10:5. You and I will bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, if we will try to do so. Your choice is ours. In Luke 13, verse 11 through verse 16, reference is made to a woman whom Satan had bound. In this case, he had bound her with a disease. In our case, Satan is trying to bind us, not with the disease of the body, but with the disease of the heart, the disease of the soul. That disease is sin. He cannot make captives of us by merely binding our bodies. We become his captives only when our hearts and our souls are bound by him. And thus we have the admonition in Matthew 10:28, fear not him who can destroy the body, but after that has no more that he can do, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. This word bind that we're studying about is used in Revelation 9:14. There it's used with reference to the tying with chains. In a figurative sense, there are chains with which Satan is trying to bind us. There's the chain of lust. Satan tried to bind Jesus with this chain, but he failed. He tried to bind him with the lust for food, but that failed. Some are easily bound with this chain of lust. Solomon said, Proverbs 28:21, for a piece of bread will a man transgress. And while many will permit Satan to bind them with this chain, Jesus refused to be so bound. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Next, Satan tried to bind Jesus with the lust for fame. He set him up on a pinnacle of the temple and suggested how famous he could become if he would cast himself down. Many have been bound with this chain of Satan, but not the Lord. The Lord says, be not desirous of vainglory, in Galatians 5, verse 26. And then Satan made another attempt to bind Jesus. This time he tried to tempt him with the lust for fortune. He took Jesus up on one of the high mountains and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and promised to give those kingdoms to Jesus if he would simply fall down and worship him. And such would appeal to a great many people. Multitudes have permitted Satan to bind them with this lust for fortune, but not Christ. He said, if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what does it profit him? Mark 8, verse 36. So when we see these tactics Satan used to overpower Christ, he tried to bind him with the chain of lust. He tried to bind him with the lust for food, the lust for fame, the lust for fortune. He knew that he could not enter into Christ's heart and spoil the good of his heart, except he first bind him. The chains of lust are still being used to bind men and women today, and too many times Satan is successful. He was able to bind David with the lust for Bathsheba. Judas permitted Satan to bind him with the lust for money when he sold his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. A man by the name of Diotrephes permitted Satan to bind him with the lust for preeminence in 3 John 9. But lust is not the only chain Satan uses to bind people. He binds with the chains of pride. Pride will keep one from becoming a Christian and enable Satan to overpower that person. It's only the poor in spirit that have the promise of the Lord's kingdom, Matthew 5:5. And there can be no conversion to Christ without humility. Don't let Satan overpower you by binding you with the chains of pride, or bind you with a chain of lust, or bind you with any other chain. It may be the chain of prejudice. It might be a chain of stubbornness. It might be a chain of greed or covetousness, or a chain of worldly care, or a chain of fear, or a chain of social prestige, the chain of jealousy or envy. Do not let Satan bind you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And as you obey God by acknowledging your faith in Christ, by repenting of your sins, by being buried with Him in baptism, by letting the Lord add you to His church, Satan will still be working, but you can resist him and he will flee from you.